Well, we are approaching the end of what's been quite the journey through Hebrews chapter 11 here in our communion services. We're not quite to the end, but we're just about there as we look this morning at verses 32 through 38. Let's go ahead and pray once more as we come now to the reading and preaching of God's Word. Please pray with me. Our Father, we pray now for the work of the Spirit upon our hearts, to take your Word, living and active as it is, to take it and to press it deep within our hearts, that we would receive it by faith, and that you would stir us up, Lord, in the Spirit to respond, yes, with faith, also with hope and with love, with the adoration of our hearts and with the obedience of our wills. Father, may we hear your word, and may the Spirit make us to be more like Jesus. As we seek to walk by faith and not by sight. And we ask this in the name of our Savior. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 32 through 38. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain by the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. Quite the advertisement for faith, isn't it? Well, perhaps you've noticed, but life is full of difficulties. And believing in the Lord Jesus Christ does not cause those difficulties to simply disappear. That you believe and poof, life is now easy. The challenges remain. And those challenges come in all manner, right, of shapes and sizes. From the small to the large to the utterly life-changing. And what so happens in the midst of our course? Well, there we are, getting along quite nicely, confident and prepared, so we think, for life's challenges, only then to have the floor fall out beneath us. If you can imagine a a university student approaching an important exam. He's studying diligently for that test. He's at the point where he really feels like he's mastered the material. He even walks in the exam door with a bit of that cocky spring in his step, only to sit down, open the exam book, and realize that actually he's been studying the wrong material. And he doesn't even know what he's looking at, a material he's now totally unprepared for. And that can happen to us in the course of our Christian walk. We think we're getting along just fine. We think we've mastered the material. We even perhaps walk around a bit with that cocky, proud spring in our step. Only for God then to place us in circumstances that take us completely out of our depth. Circumstances that would seem to have the power to overwhelm us and perhaps even to break us. And we realize in that moment that we've been studying the wrong material. Thinking, perhaps not saying it out loud, but beginning to live as though, well, perhaps faith does exempt us from life's difficulties, from the sufferings of this present age. Well, to whatever extent we may be confused in this way, our passage is here this morning to correct our misunderstanding of the Christian life and to mature our faith. As we will be called by God, have been called, and will be called however many days we have left in these bodies to walk through life's difficulties, whatever may lie before us. Understanding that faith doesn't exempt us from difficulty. But as we see from our passage, faith gives us strength to persevere through that difficulty. Understanding that God has destined us for glory. Faith gives us strength from the Holy Spirit to cling to Jesus Christ, even in the midst of the most intimidating challenges. Even in the inferno of the hottest crucible, and to do so giving glory to God. That's what every single person here in our passage this morning understood. They understood that, yes, God gives his people great and mighty challenges, but he also gives his people great faith to meet those challenges and so to glorify him in their mortal bodies. We've come this morning to the last of our author's cataloging of the exploits of faith in the Old Testament. And it's immediately clear as we read these verses that he's changed his strategy. Up until verse 32, remember, he's been carefully and meticulously working his way through the Old Testament narrative, beginning at Genesis, moving all the way through the book of Joshua, mining these books for the most exemplary specimens of faith. But here in verse 32, he realizes that if he continues that pace through the rest of the Old Testament, this is going to go on for quite a long time. But our author appears to be something of a perfectionist because he doesn't want to leave out any part of the Old Testament. So he changes his strategy. He breaks from that careful, meticulous examination of individual examples of faith, and now he's simply plastering us against the wall with a rapid-fire sequence of examples of faith that take us from where he left off at the period of the Judges all the way through the Old Testament, even a little bit into the intertestamental period. He doesn't want to leave out any part of God's dealings with his people, from Genesis all the way through to the coming of Jesus Christ. And what he's doing in this way is preparing us for the beginning of chapter 12. And look with me briefly at verse 2. What is the climax of this whole section? It's not where we've left off. It's in verse 2 of chapter 12. It's in Jesus. And he's bringing us from Genesis all the way to the captain of our salvation and our Lord and our Savior. But helpfully, he's organized all of these concluding examples into two basic categories. And those two basic categories will be the 2 points for the sermon this morning. First of all, verses 32 through 35, faith accomplishes great things. And then secondly, verses 35 through to verse 38, faith suffers great things. Faith accomplishes great things, and faith suffers great things. And so we begin with our first point, faith accomplishes great things. Because after all, what is faith? Faith is not something that we simply conjured up on our own. Faith is God's saving work in our hearts. That instrument in God's bringing us to himself, that he works himself in our hearts. The Holy Spirit comes to us in power and brings us to new life and causes us to be born again from above by the imperishable seed of the Word of God. The old man is crucified. The new man is brought to life, and we become, by God's grace, temples of the Spirit, which we have from God. That, brothers and sisters, by God's working faith in your heart, you are now the sons of the living God, the sons and daughters of God Almighty, the younger siblings of Christ in the family of God. And so shall we not accomplish great things for the glory of him who has loved us with that everlasting love? To which you may respond, sounds great. But how could I ever accomplish anything half as wonderful as what I'm reading here in these verses? About Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets, great battles and great conquests, narrow and miraculous escapes. I mean, have you seen my life? It's awfully boring compared to what I'm reading here in these verses. To which I suppose I would respond that your calling as a child of God in the new covenant is to believe in and to labor toward even greater things than the conquest of earthly kingdoms, as we read about in these verses. Your calling as a child of God is to believe in and labor toward even greater things than the conquest of earthly kingdoms. Remember what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6. We are to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, to put on the whole armor of God. Why? Why? So that we can stand against the schemes of the evil one himself. No earthly king, but the ruler over the cosmic powers of this present darkness, as Paul calls them, the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. In other words, can you imagine a more dangerous or adventurous calling or endeavor than being a Christian believer? Every day you are called to put to death the deeds of the body in the power of the Spirit. Every day you are called to wage spiritual war against the cosmic powers over this present darkness. Every day you are called to be alert, praying at all times in the Spirit, Again, that you might glorify God in these mortal bodies. In other words, if you look at your life and you say, boy, the Christian life is dull and boring, certainly compared to what I'm reading here in these verses, well, you need to change your perspective and renew a spiritual sight of that to which God has called you, and to taste of the spiritual reality that is now true about you in Christ. If you think the Christian life is dull, it's because you need to taste again the spiritual realities that are true about you in the Lord Jesus Christ. As sons of the Almighty God, as younger siblings of Christ in His family, we are called to accomplish great things for the glory of Him who has loved us. A faith does not lead to a spiritually passive life. It leads to a zealous desire and seeking after that which we are praying for every day, right? Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If we are praying for those things as we ought to be every single day, then our Christian lives should be imbued with great zeal as we see the spiritual realities that lie before us as sons of the kingdom. And we certainly can't cloak spiritual laziness with a confession of God's sovereignty. Well, you know, God's purposes must come to pass, so I'll just twiddle my thumbs in the meantime. And maybe we never actually say that to ourselves, but we are to search our hearts for any remnant of that dangerous sentiment. True faith never leads to spiritual passivity. True faith always leads us to zeal for the things of the kingdom, to the putting to death of sin, to the serving of our brothers and sisters, to the witnessing unto Christ in this passing age. Listen to this quote and maybe try to guess who might have said it. Faith is a living, daring confidence in God's grace, so sure and certain that a man would stake his life on it 1,000 times. This confidence in God's grace and knowledge of it makes men glad and bold and happy in dealing with God and all His creatures. Hence, a man is ready and glad without compulsion to do good to everyone, to serve everyone, to suffer everything in love and praise to God who has shown him this grace. And thus, it is impossible to separate works from faith. Quite as impossible as to separate burning and shining from fire. It's Martin Luther. It is impossible to separate works from faith. They must be distinguished as the Reformation held dear, but they can never be separated. The same Holy Spirit who gives us faith is the same Holy Spirit who then through that faith works in our hearts to conform us to the image of Christ. And what does it mean to be conformed to that image if not an increasing zeal and desire for holiness and for love and for service in the kingdom of God for the glory of our Father? And, you know, additionally, there's something very instructive looking at these examples. Gideon, Jephthah, Samson, and David especially are all men whose sins are recorded for us in the Bible, very specifically, for all the ensuing generations to read about. The sin of these men. Now, these men who accomplished great things for the kingdom of God were nevertheless men plagued by great sin. They were in desperate need of God's pardoning mercies in Christ, the same as we are. And yet God still used them mightily according to His gracious purposes. And so it is for us as well, that God can use our faith to great ends the same as he used theirs. In other words, don't let the guilt and consciousness of your sin keep you from walking by faith in the Son of God and laboring for the glory of Christ. His blood has cleansed you from all unrighteousness. He has dealt with the guilt of sin. Pray that by his Spirit he would now deal with the consciousness of that sin, that you may be freed of it in your consciousness as you are in the reality of the fact that freed from the guilt and consciousness of sin, you might truly walk in zeal for the glory of your Savior. That yes, your sins are real and they are great, but that God's grace is greater than those sins. As Paul says elsewhere, that we are to forget what lies behind and strain forward then to what lies ahead, pressing on toward the goal of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. As we begin now transitioning to our second point, open with me to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. Philippians, chapter 4. And we'll begin reading in verse 11. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And you know what we do with a passage like that? Well, continue on. Let's first of all read verse 13. As Paul concludes there, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And what we like to do then, reading that verse, is to dream up these big and wonderful and incredible things that we would like to do and like to accomplish, and then simply tag it with verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that's often how that verse is used, without realizing that we don't get to make up the context of those words. We don't choose for ourselves the all things. That's the key of understanding verse 13. We do not choose for ourselves the all things. God chooses them for us. And sometimes the things he chooses for us are plenty and abundance. And the Spirit teaches us in those circumstances to be content. But sometimes they are hunger and need. And Paul's thrust here is that no matter what God has ordained for us to go through in this life, no matter what, the Lord Jesus Christ will be our strength. Whatever he calls us to, he will sustain us and preserve our souls. He will guard us through faith for that salvation that is ready to be revealed at the last time. And these verses from Philippians 4 are the perfect way to sum up the verses we read from Hebrews chapter 11. Whether it's accomplishing great things, verse 32 through verse 35, or whether it's suffering great things, verse 35 through verse 38, whatever God places before us in our lives, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Notice, go back to Hebrews 11 with me. Notice that in verse 34, what do we read? We read about someone escaping the edge of the sword, right? Verse 34, escaped the edge of the sword by faith. And then verse 37, slain with the sword by faith. Some escaped the edge of the sword by faith. Others were slain with the sword by faith. But in both instances, What Paul said of the believer was true of these believers as well, that they could do all things through Christ who strengthened them. One outcome isn't inherently more holy than the other. But through faith, the Lord was glorified in both. The future doesn't unfold according to our decree. The future unfolds according to God's decree. And it is our job, it is our calling, day by day, to walk by faith in the Son of God, who loved us and gave himself for us. Understanding every step of the way that he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Because often the life of faith, as we see in verses 35 and following, that faith suffers great things as well, the life of faith often takes us down paths that we would have never chosen for ourselves. But even in those situations, still and yet, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We can rejoice in our sufferings, Romans 5, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And so if you are walking that pathway of faith and God has chosen for you suffering, again, whether that be small suffering, large suffering, or life-altering suffering, if God has chosen that path for you, you can glorify him by faith. You can cling fast, hold fast to the Lord Jesus Christ, and in so doing, bring great glory to your God and accomplish great things by faith, as did the saints we read about in these verses. We read in verse 35 that some were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that is physical deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. You see, their ultimate hope was in nothing that this life could give them. Even the deliverance of their physical lives was not sufficient motivation to abandon the Lord Jesus or to forsake their faith. Their hope was not in this life, but in the life of the world to come. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. The prospect of resurrection, even for these old covenant believers, transformed the character of their faith and gave them strength in the Lord to endure even the greatest suffering. And so, brothers and sisters, if we are to endure suffering in our Christian lives, let us look to the resurrected Jesus. Let us fix our hope upon that coming day when the night of this present evil age will finally give way to the bright morning of eternal Sabbath and the glory of the consummation. That is the better resurrection that we are destined to experience as we believe in Jesus Christ. These people understood that this life has only death in Adam. Even the saving of the physical life will only end in eternal death. But it is in the Lord God Almighty who has made promises to his people that there is eternal life and light and salvation. And that that life and light of salvation is worth the forsaking of any earthly thing, even our very lives, if only to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. In the midst of your sufferings, he bears you up. He holds you fast. He hides you in the shadow of his wings. And brothers and sisters, nothing in all creation can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And so let us remember, when sufferings come, what is the temptation? The temptation is to do anything just to alleviate the suffering. And in that state, to perhaps start listening to what the world has to offer you. But remember that the world actually has nothing to offer you. At least not anything that has any lasting, abiding, spiritual value. The world offers you things to deny the Lord Jesus and to forsake the faith, but in return for what? All it can give you is that which will ultimately rot and fade and pass away into nothing. And that being the case, let us, by faith, join the ranks of those of whom the world was not worthy. Let us desire that better country, that heavenly country that the Lord has promised, to persevere through this present veil of tears with eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you trusting in him? Are you calling upon his name? If you are, then God is not ashamed to be called your God. And he has prepared for you a city that when this earth and all it contains, the heavens itself, melt and burn and pass away, yet that city will remain. And your inheritance will be eternal and unfading. And throughout this life, the Lord Jesus himself will guide you and will protect you and will shepherd you. And as you trust in him, he will not fail. He will not fail to resurrect you imperishable into that eternal kingdom of glory. Well, let's pray together. Lord God, we pray that you would continually make us aware of those spiritual realities that characterize our existence in Jesus Christ. That we would truly walk by faith and not by sight. And that whatever you choose for us in this life, let us remember that faith accomplishes great things and faith suffers great things. For this reason, that we can, in Christ, do all things. For he strengthens us, and he gives us his Spirit. And so, Father, let us renew our faith and our hope in him, our love for you and for the brethren, and let us rejoice in the hope of glory, which is ours in Christ. And we ask these things in his name. Amen.